I'm not really sure I'm supposed to be up here. The secretary usually does a good job of putting these slides together. I don't know what she happened to her this week. She's definitely falling down on the job here. But, you know, hopefully, with your help, we can figure this out. So, who is speaking today, do you think? Me? What's my name? Oh, we got that right. All right, I love it. I love it. Who? When is he speaking? Oh. Yeah. Some people don't know what day they're on. Where is he speaking? There we go. From the back. Beatty didn't lose his wits, that's for sure. there's a when, there's a where. Okay, what is this? There's the message. Trust me, I know. The why is in the message itself. Before we get started, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the privilege and the freedom and the opportunity that we've all had to come together, Lord, to worship you, Lord, to learn about you and to be uplifted and encouraged by being around your people, Lord. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What you have just seen here is part of something called the five W's. Some people have heard of this. They've learned it in school, depending on what you studied and things like that, right? I know I was talking to Ken. He's done this. The five W's are who, what, where, when, and why. Sometimes people add how, right? They're considered basic research tools, basic information gathering and problem solving method. It's used in journalism, used in research, it's used in businesses. You can put this on a computer, and I found out they have taken this, they apply it to project management companies, are applying it to the, and they just take it and apply it to their, whatever they're, you know, teaching, using, and business, in courts, in defense, and prosecution, in law, in writing, it's everywhere. It's attributed that Aristotle, in some of his writings, started this. He didn't actually use these words, but he wrote this big, long thing about that was turned into the five W's. St. Thomas Aquinas kind of put them in today's form. A little bit, and he credited Aristotle because somebody else was getting the credit for him. We had an American professor. His name was William Cleaver Wilkinson. He was a Baptist preacher, a professor of theology, poetry, and a literary figure, and he said this was a good means of Bible study. Who, what, where, when, and why? Does anybody know why these questions are very useful in this context? They're useful because they have to have facts as answers. They're not yes or no questions. Speaker. Scott Burke. You can't go speaker, yes. Speaker, no, right? Date. I don't know. I have to have facts to them. Me, I'm a person that loves to know why. And that is the one we're going to focus on. It's generally considered the most important, and it can be taken many different ways. I always want to know the reasons, because this gives you the big picture. I believe that asking why is useful in studying the Bible. I don't think that there's a person sitting here listening to my voice right now that doesn't have a why coming to their mind about something in the Bible. Something like that, right? Everybody has whys. I'm always asking why. I'll give you an example. I always had a why as to, and I could never find a satisfactory answer. I always had a why. Why does Satan even try? Why is all of the things in the book of Revelation, why are they going to happen? Why is Satan even going to go through with it? Because he knows it's already predicted, and he knows who God is. And none of the answers ever satisfy me. You know, the common one you get was, he just wants to take as many people with him. I'm like, really? Is that why, you know, he's going to fight against prophecy? Until I got to this church. And I asked Henry Hazard, and he gave me an answer that gave me comfort and peace. And I was like, kind of the light bulb goes off in your head. I like that answer. He said, by attacking, destroying the nation of Israel, God's prophecies can't come true. He's going to turn prophecy, he turns God into a liar, thereby he wins. So the prophecy is actually, he thinks, is the tool to his victory by causing it to not come true. That makes some sense to me. These are the type of things that I like. So we're going to focus on a why question. And this is, why did God create man? The definition of the word why is the cause, reason, or purpose for which. You can answer why in a bunch of different ways, right? And I'm going to give you an example of when you ask the question why, how you can come up with a million different answers, right? There was the five W's. I missed that one. Everybody remember this? All right? This was my wife's birthday cake at her, you know, birthday party. It was here. So, let's ask why. Why is this cake here? Right? Why was there a cake at my wife's birthday party? Oh, celebrate. Look, I had that written down. It signifies who was being celebrated. Right. Tradition. Oh, yeah, it's there because it's tradition. It's there to be eaten. Right? It's there to be shared. It's where the party is, so that's where the cake is, right? You don't want to have the cake where the party isn't. To be seen, right? There's one, so that, you know, to let Janice know she's loved. We're going to get to that later. So. It's also here because somebody made it. Somebody brought it to the site. Or somebody, you know, went and paid somebody and then brought it to the site. Why? You could go on forever, right? Why is it here? Because the United States uses birthday cakes on birthday parties. I mean, you can ask it in a million different ways. You can do the same when you ask the question, why did God create man? This was very, very hard, I will admit. In reading and reading commentaries and Bible verses and articles and everything, I'm amazed at how many times I was reading things that I thought were taken out of context in this question. It's not why. And we'll get to some of these, and we're going to see what I found out. First, if you want to know why, let's go to the beginning. All right? This is going to give us a clue. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let us make man in our image. Okay. This can be a reason. Give him dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds and the heavens. So God created man to have dominion over the planet, right? That's why. I'm done. We wish it was that. We wish it was that simple, right? He also created man in our image. This is a rabbit hole that we can do a whole nother sermon on. In what it means to be created in God's image. I'm going to give you a short version, just because, like I said, this is something that you can continue out. God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply the earth, subdue it, and have dominion." So we are also here to multiply. Right? We're created in, we're an image bearer of God. We were created to subdue the earth and to multiply. What does it mean to be an image bearer of God? You know, as an aside, some people say that it means we have all of our three parts. We have our consciousness and our soul and our thoughts, and we have the ability to love and to know God and to worship him, basically kind of what makes us human. Some say it is to actually represent God in creation as rulers or agents of God. We're not going to dissect both of them, but there is an interesting another why. Here's the cake again. Why does the cake look like it does? Janice likes playing music, right? Her name is on it, so we know who it's for. It's three tiers, so it'll feed everybody. So it's not just why did somebody put it there. Why does it look like it does? There's another why. We're just talking about a cake, and we can have whys all day long. So why does it look like it does? Why do we look like we do? Ephesians 3, 7-11. "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what was the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church and manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, Until I did this, I don't know how many times I read this and it never hit me. I'm sure we've all had these experiences that we're an image bearer of God to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. That's what it means. You're created in God's image. You are bearing him. But who are you bearing his image to? We are bearing his image to each other and to those in heavenly places, so that even the angels are looking at the church and seeing God's wisdom. Ah, I see what you're doing now, God. I see what's going on here. Isn't that amazing? We're going to stop there because we could keep going. We're going to go back to why we were created, but this is why we could be created in God's image, to accomplish this purpose. If we read this, the ultimate image bearer of God is, you know, Jesus, because he bore God's image perfectly. But here are common answers you get when you're asked the question, why did God create man? Everyone's heard this. We are created to obey God. So I'm searching for scriptures because we're created to obey. And I'm trying to find scriptures that directly tie to creation. Everybody sitting out there now, you studied your Bible a little bit, has a bunch of verses going through their heads about obedience right now, right? But are we created to obey God? Well, let's see. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Does that one look familiar, Phil? Right? It was on Phil's sermon a few weeks ago. Yeah. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Okay. I guess we can be created to obey God here. It's the duty of man. Why were we created? To do this. Hebrews 10:7. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. Even Jesus was created to obey, I guess, or manifested, created is not a good word, in human form to obey. So we could be created to obey God. That was the whole purpose. God said, I'm going to create people to obey me. Also going to create people to serve me. Ephesians 2:10, for we are in his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's about the best I could do to tie it to creation, other than the Genesis that we've already read. God made the world and the plants and the birds and created us to till it and take care of it. So created to serve God. Good works, you know, part of the image bearing of God. They were prepared beforehand, so we were created, we could be created to obey, created to serve. Common answers. There's whole sermons, there's whole articles, whole Bible studies that will have these titles. Created, you're created to obey. No, you're created to serve. No, you're created to worship or glorify God. That's why God created. Isaiah has some good verses on this. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. That's pretty self-explanatory. I created people to worship and glorify me. That's why God put us here. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your actual worship. Created to worship or glorify God. There's some translations will even have this, therefore, you know, give him glory because you were created. So God created us to obey, created us to serve, created us to worship or glorify him. I'm not sure that this answers the why questions for me. I just read you the scriptures. There was a guy whose last name was Toyota. Yes, in Japan. Toyota with a D, but his son or grandson or something like that ended up founding Toyota Motors. He was a big, rich businessman himself. And he didn't directly get into automobiles, but someone later did. In his business practices, he said, you need to ask why 5 times. You need to keep asking why. You're troubleshooting. Why did my car break down? Because the battery's dead. Why is the battery dead? Because I left the lights on. Why did you leave the lights on? Because I left my key in it. You need to ask it 5 times. And he popularized that function. I submit to you that these are our functions, but do they ask why? Let's go back to the cake for a minute. The function of that cake is to be eaten and to be shared. Right? That's the purpose. That's why that cake is there. It's there to be seen so everybody can see, hey, it's Janice's birthday. It's got music on it. That's tied to her. It's a function, but why is it there? What's the motivation for somebody putting that cake there? And that's it. That's the real reason, the real thing we want to know. Let's go back to the reasons that we were created. We were created to obey. I have a question for you. Do you think God needs people to boss around? What does that say about him? God's like, he's in eternity, and he says, I wish I really had somebody I can go tell what to do. I can get commandments to. He is the boss. If we were created to serve, read this. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. So God's like, I don't like where I'm at. I need some people to boss around. I need some people to serve me. Does that mean God's lazy? That God's not going to do what needs to be done? Does he really need us? Does God need us to do something for him? That's not going to be accomplished without us to serve him? No. He's definitely not lazy. If we were created to worship him and bring him glory. So not only is God happy in his own existence, he needs to create people to obey and serve him. Not only, go tend the garden, you need to worship me too. Does God need his ego stoked? Is he a gigantic egomaniac that he needs to create worshipers like a king? I need to go conquer other territories so people can worship me. I say no. I don't think God is discontent in his own existence. I don't think he was lonely. I don't think Book of Genesis says, let us create man in our image. Some people say, We were created for God's pleasure. Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were existed and were created. Some translations have here, for your pleasure. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So God created man because he needed obedient, serving worshipers for his pleasure, because God needs to be entertained. He needs pets. No, I don't think that's why God created us. Some say God created us to love him. So God's in eternity again, and somehow he's has an unmet love need that only we can provide. I'm not sure that's why we were created either. But you can find these whole articles and sermons. This is it. We were created to obey, to serve, to worship, just because he wanted to. You know, like I said, he doesn't need entertainment or to love. Let's pause on the love for a second. Now we're getting close. Right? But let's not have a misapplication of, you know, created to love God. I say that the obedience, serving, loving God, and worshiping, yes. These are our duties, these are our functions, this is what we are tasked to do. These are for our benefit, not God. I heard someone ask one time, someone was talking to somebody, a Christian and an atheist, and why does God command everybody to obey him? And give him free will. And it's like, because God knows that obeying him is good for us. Right? It's our best interest to obey God's commandments. It's our best interest to follow him, to love him, to obey and serve and worship him. It's our best interest because he knows. It's not because he's an egomaniac, he's lonely, lazy, and wishes he was loved. These are our functions, our duties, and responsibilities. I do think, though, that love is the key in a certain way. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, there's a verse, right, that connects obey to love. What about, we said we could be created to serve. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Okay, here's a verse. We're tying serving to love. For we were created to obey and serve, but what comes first? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Loving Jesus. That's why we're keeping his commandments. That is part of it. You can't serve two masters because you will only love one of them. So there's our service that's connected to love. God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. The love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints. This is in Hebrews 6:10. So by serving, you're showing the love you have for God. Okay. Worship needs to be motivated by the same thing, not created just to worship to boost God's ego. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Because your steadfast love is better than life, I will praise you with my lips. That's because of God's love that you're going to worship. That's what needs to happen first. The reason we like this question is because by asking why and continuing to ask why, we've just got an insight into God's character. We know what God isn't. So then, if you know the real reason that you're created, it makes everything else fall in place and make sense. God doesn't need worshipers, doesn't need servants. He didn't have an unmet love need. I say God's motivation to create man was love. But it wasn't because he needed our love. It was to share his. If we love because he first loved us. Look at the picture of the family there with the baby. I know this doesn't always happen in society and everything, but typically, in the perfect world, this family decided that they had enough love in their relationship that they could share it with somebody else. That they could bring someone else into the relationship and share their love. God created man to share his love. So he could give us his love, not so we could give him ours. Now that's what we need to. God is personal and eternal. So he wants to share these things. But this is why God created man. This was the motivation. Not just all the functions and the duties and everything else. Because he wanted to share his love with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, we thank you that you loved us, Lord, and that you put us here so that you could show your love, you could share your love, you could bring us into your love. Even though we turned our back on you and we've rejected you at every turn, you still loved us and you loved us first. Even though we turned our back on our duties and on your love, you still love us so perfectly that you came as Jesus to continue to show your love for us and to try to bring us back into that relationship. Lord, we can do nothing to earn it. We can't do anything to deserve it. You just give it to us. Lord, this should be humbling. And I pray anybody that is in the sound of my voice or online or here that is having this problem, experiencing your love, Lord, knowing that we have access to it through Jesus Christ, Lord, that they seek this out and that they understand that you are not lucky to have us, Lord, but we are lucky to have you. And you desire to just shower us with love. That does not mean material things, does not mean every desire we want. It just means our joy in knowing you, our contentment in everything you've given us, and the peace in knowing that we will have eternal life with you. In Jesus' name.